Good morning. Hopefully I won't fall down again, but you never can tell. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll be looking at the first 11 verses, and we're going to talk about, we're in a theme of Revelation, so I just figure we might as well just stay with that theme at least one more week. We're going to talk about a subject that nobody really knows. I mean, we know about it. It's the day of the Lord. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know what it's going to look like, but we know it's something that we need to talk about, we need to discuss, that we need to study and to read about. And so, like I said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. We're going to talk. I want to try to do two things today. I want to try to, in the limited time that I have, I want to try to tell you what the day of the Lord looks like, what it is, and then how to live in light of the day of the Lord. Because that's the real important part. The day of the Lord's going to happen whether you believe in it or not, and whether I believe in it or not, whether I can clearly articulate the day of the Lord in the next 30 minutes, it's going to happen. The real important part for me today, for us today, is to be able to live in light of it, with clean hands, pure heart, ministering to each other and to the Lord. So that's really where we want to go. Those are the two things I want to do. So let's read 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourself are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in a night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live to him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are doing." Let's pray. Lord, that is my heart's desire, is to step aside and allow you to speak to us, to allow you to encourage us, allow you to build us up this morning, that we can see, that we can understand, and that we can walk in light of all that's happening around us. So Lord, we just commit this time to you, and we pray that, again, that you'd speak to us. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Well, the Mayan calendar. Who remembers the Mayan calendar? Anybody? Yes. The Mayan calendar initially predicted May 2003. There's a lot of talk about the day of the Lord in there. There's a lot of buzz going on, and people are fascinated with this, and there's a lot of kooky people out there. There's a lot of kooky people out there. May 2003, the world would end, but nothing happened, so the date was moved to December 2012. It was linked to the winter solstice in 2012, December 21st. Problem is, the third rock is still here in 2016, so something happened, it was wrong. There's actually a movie. Let's put the clip up there, and there's actually a movie trailer that went along with this. It's kind of fascinating. I was watching this last night.
Down for time. The world as we know it was
2012. Said the Mayans knew about it. The Bible knows about it. And guess who's going to save it? Said the government is building ships. Woo, we're going to be saved. The government is going to take care of us. Sorry, that throw that one in. Like I said, there's a lot of kooky people out there. And you know what? It's a real event that's going to take place. And so I think we as a body need to understand as much as we can about it, but we can't allow it to consume us. And the most important thing, as I said, is how are we going to walk in light of this? Amen. That's the real issue that I have. Well, you know, that's not it. I thought Harold Camping wrote this book, but it was Edgar Weisenot. And I think I'm saying his book or his name, right? Published a book, and it says The 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Happen in 1988. 300,000 copies were sold, and you can still buy one on Amazon today. I looked it up last night. It didn't happen in 88, so we changed the dates to 89, and then it was to 92, and then it was to 95, and like I said, you can, $3.99, it's a Kindle version. If you are so inclined, Harold Camping, he saw this happening in May 21st of 2011. That was wrong, so he moved it to September 27, 94. You know, like I said, just nothing new. End times speculation, end times, and I'm going to call it kookiness. You know, the one thing I didn't know, and I actually learned, Pastor Chris, as we were preparing for this, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the LDS are all end times cults. They all came out of this fascination with what's going to happen. And when you look at it, I know the Adventists are huge into Revelation. I know somebody that's personally that was involved in that, and that's all he talked about was the Book of Revelation. And I thought, well, what about the gospel message? Yeah, but Revelation says this. And I didn't know this about the LDS or the Jehovah's Witnesses, so it was kind of new to me this summer. And, you know, when you think about it, like I said, there's a lot of misunderstanding, misconception, and I have 30 minutes to try to explain something that I could spend days on and still not know or still not be able to do. And so I'm going to, like I said, I'm going to try to look at what the day of the Lord is. You know, it's been fun. I don't know if y'all have enjoyed this summer, but I have actually enjoyed this summer. The whole idea of Revelation tonight, the speaker's John Weirs. If you haven't heard this man, he is a Dr. John Weirs. He was the pastor at Faith out in North Liberty, Faith Presbyterian. He'll be here. He's going to talk about Old and New Testament covenant themes within Revelation. So I just encourage you to come out tonight at 6 o'clock. Last week we were really blessed. Wrath and worship. I mean, how the two came with Pastor Dave Martinez. And there's still some more good topics coming on up. But I've just been thoroughly blessed as I've looked at all that God's going to be doing. I want to start with the scripture. This is in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, verse 32. And it says, it's the parable of the fig tree. It says, you know the seasons by looking at the fig tree. And I'm going to start in verse 35. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. That is the one thing that you can hang on to. Amen. That is it. My word will not pass away. But the day and the hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. And if you remember, they were eating and drinking and carrying on just like normal. And Noah and his family walked into the ark. The door was shut. And it showed. It came. And that's what I want us to remember. As much as we can speculate and think, oh, this is really cool and this is really neat, we do not know the day or the hour. And that's the first thing I want us to understand, our first thing I want us to hear this morning. I want to try to explain the day of the Lord. You know, Paul, he was speaking to the Thessalonians, and he was using what he knew. And what he knew was the Old Testament. So this morning, I want to look at several Old Testament passages that pertain to the day of the Lord. And if you, I did a search last night, 28 references, I believe, 21 different verses. Four of them were in the New Testament. The rest of them were in the Old Testament. And usually you find the day of the Lord in books like Ezekiel, Isaiah, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Zephaniah, Malachi, in the prophet, the major and the minor prophets. And like I said, we're going to read a few of those this morning just to try to define what the day of the Lord is and how it's going to look. So the first one, it's Isaiah 13, verses 6 through 11. So I'll give you a minute to get there. And we were talking in our Sunday school class about the struggle within the church. And most people, they come to church and they passively listen. And they're not actively engaged in the Word of God. So I just encourage you, got a Bible, open it, read with me. Don't believe what I say. Believe what Scripture says. Go home and study for yourself. And make sure that I'm not leading us astray. So this is Isaiah 13, verse 6. It says, "Wail, for the day of the Lord is near, as destruction from the Almighty, it will come. Therefore, all hands will be feeble, and every human heart will melt. They will be dismayed. Pangs and agony will seize them, and they will be in anguish like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at one another. Their faces will be aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and to destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heaven and their constellations will not give the light. The sun will be dark in its rising, and the moon will not shed its light. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will put an end to the pomp and arrogance and lay low the pompous pride of the ruthless." Doesn't sound fun. I mean, it doesn't. It's near. It's a day of judgment. This is the day that the Lord is going to bring judgment upon the world for its rebellion. I mean, and I don't know where your heart is this morning. I don't know if you're walking with the Lord this morning. But there is coming a day, whether in your lifetime or after your lifetime. The Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die. Hebrews 9:27, it says, it's appointed unto man once to die. We're all going to die, whether you really want to or not. We're going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to give an account. I mean, that's it. Some of us will give an account for our lives as believers. Some of us will be in condemnation as non-believers. The day of the Lord is coming. It's near. The day of the Lord is going to bring judgment upon. And you think about our just America and the abortions we've had. There's consequences. Everything you do, good or bad, has consequences. I mean, you do right. Most of the time, there are good consequences. Most of the time. You don't do right, most of the time, there are bad consequences. It's just, that's just how it is. The day of the Lord is going to bring judgment upon a rebellious world. It is a day when justice will finally be dealt. You know, I always think to myself, I see people, whether they're politicians or actors or prominent people in our society, and I look at them and I'm thinking, I could never get away with this. Well, the truth is, they can't either. That's just it. They can't either. They might not be punished here on this side of heaven, this side of glory, but we will give an account. We will give an account. Another Old Testament prophet, Zephaniah, this is chapter 1, and I'm not going to tell you the page number, but Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 14 through 18. So take a minute, get there. Isaiah just said, the day of the Lord is near. Guess what Zephaniah says? And I don't understand nearness like God. I'm thinking near like, isn't it going to happen Monday? You know, I don't understand nearness here. This is Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. Starting in 14, we'll read to verse 18. It says, the great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. Sound, the sound of day, the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day. A day of distress, of anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blasts and battle cries against fortified cities, against the lofty battlements. I will bring distress on mankind so that they will walk like blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on that day, on the day of the wrath of the Lord. In the fire of his jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed. For a full and sudden end he will make of all the inhabitants of the world, of the earth. Again, it's near. Says, I will, their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. You're not going to be able to get away from it. I mean, it's just it. The day of the Lord is a day of wrath. It's a day of judgment. It's a day of wrath. You know, God's wrath towards sin is going to be poured out. God's wrath towards our disobedience, it's going to happen. It's not going to be fun. And again, I want to encourage us today, if you're here and you're not following Christ, you know, we read the passage today. Would you put the passage of Scripture back up on the screen that we read? I think it was Luke. It says, if anyone wishes to come after me, this is what he's saying, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what he's talking about. That's what I'm talking about if you're following Christ. Are you denying yourself? I have to admit, I don't. I'm a hedonist. I am. I don't pick up my cross daily. I'm trying, but I don't always. Am I following him? Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. You know, most of the time we're saved by faith through grace. We're so thankful that God has saved us. But you know what we do after that? We try to sanctify ourselves through our own works. God, I can handle this. I can do this. That's not, the same grace that saves you sanctifies you, sustains you. And it's a daily denying yourself, a daily picking up your cross, a daily following Him. That's what I mean when I'm saying, are you living in light of the day of the Lord? Because it's going to happen. Are you prepared? And it's every day, it's the little things that you do every day that helps you be prepared for that day. And whether it happens in your lifetime or the next, we are all going to die and we are all going to stand before the Lord. And the one thing that we all want to hear is, well done. Good job. Woohoo. I mean, that's what I want to hear. That is what I want to hear. Good job, Richard. You know, some people, we read passages like this and we believe that, you know, God's not going to do that. He's the God of love. You know, it's important to keep, and we hear that all the time. You know, God is a God of love, but He is also a God of justice. He is a God of grace. But, you know, it's important to keep the whole perspective of God's word. God is a God of love. He is also a God that will judge evil and sin at the appropriate time. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, it says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but He is patient towards you. He is patient towards me, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on them will be exposed. There is a day coming. Are you ready? Are you denying yourself? Are you daily picking up your cross? Are you following Christ daily? That's what it is to be born again. That's it. God's desire is that people recognize their sin, repent, and receive salvation. That's His desire. And salvation, there are not many roads. Salvation is only offered through Jesus Christ. Only. That is it. Colossians, my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses is Colossians 1:13. It says, He, God, has delivered Richard Wooton from the dominion of darkness and has transferred Richard Wooton into the kingdom of His beloved Son. That is my favorite. That is what God does for me. And that is what God can do for you. But there is a time coming when sin and evil will be judged. And God will pour out His judgment and wrath on that day. That we know. Well, let's go to the next verse. Ezekiel chapter 18. And I'm going to read verse 23 and 32. Ezekiel 18. Give you a second to get there. And if you want the scriptures, just tell me at the end so you can go look yourself. In fact, I would encourage you, you know, go look and make sure that I'm telling you the truth. Because there are a lot of smarter people than me have been studying this issue for longer than I have. And so I am not an expert, but I am trying to the best of my ability to hold the word of God in both hands. This is Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23. It says, have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that they should turn from their way and live. God desires again for no one to perish. In verse 32, it says, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God, so turn and live. In our class, we're doing the the God who is there, Francis Schaeffer, and so many people, they come to the end of their worldview, and this nihilistic mindset, it falls apart on them. And they won't turn and repent. And that's what he's telling us. I have no pleasure in death, destruction. God has no, he wants you to turn and live. The Lord wants people to repent and to live. And he is patiently waiting until we do so. So the day of the Lord is judgment, it's wrath. There's one more that I want to look at. And this is found in Joel. In fact, this is Peter's message in Acts chapter 2. He quotes Joel chapter 2, verse 28 through 32. And there's hope here. Now, I know there's a lot of destruction, there's wrath, there's judgment, but there's hope here. Joel 2, 28 says, "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, even on the male and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens of the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood. Therefore, the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. From the Mount Zion in Jerusalem, there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said, and among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls." Yes, it's going to be a day of destruction. There, it's going to be a day of wrath, but it's also going to be a day of hope. The day of the Lord, and it is going to be a day of hope. There'll be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Physical signs and wonders will happen. Lives will be changed. I mean, look at it. It says, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Old men will dream dreams and young men will see visions." There is going to be an awesome day coming when God is working, not just within the body of Christ, but within the world itself. There's going to be destruction, there's going to be wrath, but there is going to be hope. And God is going to extend that hope to us. Well, what is the day of the Lord? 1 Thessalonians 1, 3, it says, "Now, brothers," that's a short view of what the day of the Lord is going to look like. Now, I want to talk a little bit to us about how we live in light of the day of the Lord, because this is the important part. This is how we, again, how we deny ourselves, how we pick up our cross daily, and how we follow him daily. Because that's the important part. Are we doing the small spiritual disciplines every day, all the time? Are we following Christ? Are we putting to death the deeds of the flesh? And that's it. And this is something that I've really seen in the last couple of years. The bigger my picture of God becomes, as I'm reading Scripture and I'm seeing this, if I have a small picture of God, I'm going to have a small picture of sin. And if you think sin is not that bad, you have a really small picture of who God is. The bigger your picture of God, the bigger your picture of your sin is. That's what David said in Psalm 51. He says, "Against you and you alone." He realized that he had sinned against a holy God. Broke his heart. And I just encourage you, if you're thinking your sin isn't so bad, start looking at the attributes of God. Enlarge your picture of who he is. You know, his grace, his mercy, his character, his wrath. On the page of the Scripture, God writes his character so we can know who he is. Well, first, this is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6 and 7. We're to walk spiritually awake. Verse 6, it says, "So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." You know, and all these verbs that you see in these two verses, these are active, present active participles. And I know it's not, we're not in a grammar class. I am terrible at grammar. But basically what he's saying, it's your responsibility. You have a part to play in this. You have a part to play in here. You're not to sleep. You're to be awake. You're to not be sober. And to keep awake and to be sober means to be in a conscious state of readiness, to be watchful, to be vigilant. Thank you. I was going to say vigilant, but that's not it. Vigilant. To be sober means don't be intoxicated. There's a couple reasons why I don't drink. One of them is I don't like to be out of control. And when I drink, I am not a good person. I don't like that feeling of not being in control of my faculties. I just don't, whether it's mental or physical. I don't like that. And that's what he's saying. Be sober. Don't be intoxicated in your walk with the Lord. You know, when I'm driving, and I've told you I'm really a mean driver, I think. I think it was in Moldova. Everybody over there drove aggressively. It wasn't defensive driving. It was offensive driving. I really got good at it, too, you know. I hate to say that. I'm paying attention to every car around me. I'm watching the car 50 yards in front of me. In fact, when I was teaching my kids how to drive, I said, you know, if you're driving and one car length in front of you, you're going to have a wreck. You need to be paying attention down the street. You need to be paying attention to the guy beside you as well. You need to be watching the intersection as somebody comes to that intersection. You need to be aware of your surroundings. And I think that's what he's saying. You need to pay attention to what's going on around you. And to put that in the spiritual world, you need to be paying attention to your friends. What are your friends telling you? What are your friends trying to get you to do? Where are they trying to lead you? Are you paying attention to where the path that you're walking? Are you paying attention to where it's going to lead you? I mean, there's all kinds of stumbling blocks and issues that come up. Are you walking soberly? You know, again, the same is true for our spiritual life. You know, are you reading Scripture? Are you praying? Are you in fellowship? Are you doing the little bitty spiritual disciplines every day? See, the day of the Lord is going to come. Whether you want it to come or not, it's going to come. I don't know when it's going to happen. The real key is, am I walking in fellowship with the Lord and with fellowship with other believers until that day? That's the important part. Am I following after Christ today? 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober-minded. Same word. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We have a real enemy. A real enemy. And it's not a political party. It might manifest itself in a political party, but it's not a political party. It is the adversary. His name is Satan. And he is seeking someone to devour. And if you're not paying attention, if you're not sober-minded, if you're not walking in fellowship with other believers, watch out. I mean, I don't know how else to say this. Watch out. Because the adversary has, you have a target on your back. As a believer. Don't be drunk. Be in control of your thoughts. Possess your thoughts. Be consciously ready. And this is the only way you can be ready for the day of the Lord. And so many people today, you know, we got this game, Pokemon Go. I have no idea what Pokemon Go is, other than people are standing out at our front door trying to get a Pokemon. I have no idea where the Pokemon is, but he's right outside our front door. And there's one out at the, I don't even know who Pokemon is. I actually looked him up last night on the, and it's this little yellow thing. I mean, forgive me, I don't play games. I don't play video games. Yeah, there's actually some other thing out by the sign. So for those of you who play Pokemon, y'all can go do that. But that's kind of the way people are walking around. Spiritually speaking, we're walking around with our heads down, trying to find Pokemon. And we're running into everything and everybody around us. And the adversary, spiritually speaking, you're a target. Because you're not paying attention. You're not paying attention. Spiritually texting. And if you're driving, if I'm driving and I see next to you and you got your phone up and you're doing this, I'm either going to floor it and get as far ahead of you as I can, or I'm going to step on my brakes and get behind you and just watch the wreck that's about to unfold in front of me. Because that's what's going to happen. And that's what happens spiritually speaking. When we're not paying attention, usually it's a spiritual wreck. And the spiritual wreck involves other people. It's not just you. Especially, like for me, if I was to spiritually, I would affect my wife, my son, my daughter, my church, family. It's not just me. It's the sphere of influence that I have. Pokemon Go, it's spiritual texting. You're a target. You're not paying attention. The scripture tells us to be alert. Pay attention to what's going on around you. Because the adversary is real. And he's looking for you. Paul describes this person. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 through 13. I'll give you a second to get there. 1 Corinthians, New Testament. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. The person who's not alert, not spiritually awake, but just living life without any regard. Each one should be careful how he builds his or her lives, family. Verse 12, if any man builds on this foundation, Jesus Christ, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day of the Lord will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of a man's work. And if what he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. There's coming a day when our works are going to be judged, are going to be assayed, tested. And everything that you do as unto the Lord will stand. Well, he also tells us in verse 8 to be self-controlled. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Be self-controlled. But since we are in Christ. Now remember, this is what Paul uses in the book of Ephesians. In Christ. That is the person that denies himself. That is the person that picks up his cross daily and follows him. And that is the person that is wholeheartedly committed to Christ. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet of hope of salvation. As believers, we are to walk spiritually awake, sober, living in each day in anticipation of the Lord's return. And I was reading, this week, everybody I was reading said that Paul was anticipating the Lord's return in his lifetime, was anticipating it soon. And Paul was living his life in respect to that. He was anticipating the Lord, could happen today. Every day he woke up, could happen today. And he lived his life in light of that. And I think that's what we should do as well. Each day we wake up, we have to ask ourselves, today could be the day. Am I going to live, or am I living in light of that? You know, in addition to the hope of salvation is the helmet that guards our head. There is hope here. The day of the Lord, it seems scary and it seems like there's no chance. But that's what God's doing. He's extending his hand of hope to you and I. So we can turn from ourselves and turn to him. He's extending that idea of hope to the world. He finishes this chapter with several exhortations. And I just want to read through these exhortations. This is who we're supposed to be. Actually, I was going to try to go back to chapter 4 because he says, this is the will of God for you. He actually says, this is the will of God for you. Your sanctification. That you would be set aside for his purpose. That you would abstain from sexual immorality. That you'd walk with clean hands and a pure heart. That's what he's telling us. He finishes chapter 5 with a couple of the exhortations. Be at peace among yourselves. We urge you, brothers, to admonish the idle. So when you see people that are not believers, friends, people in the church, when you see people that are not denying themselves daily, you know what? They might hate you for a minute, but they will thank you for walking up to them, putting your arm around them and say, hey, you know, brother, you are doing this, and it needs to change. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. And this is how we are. You know, most of the time I'm looking at people thinking, man, I can't believe you did that. That's I have to confess again. Usually my attitude is not a godly attitude. I have to remind myself, you know, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil. You know, God is going to take care of the issues and sins of that person's life. Amen. You don't have to worry about it. God will take care of it. Amen. Always seek to do good to anyone and to everyone. It's hard. Always seek to do good. Rejoice always. That's what he's telling us. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. I would encourage you today to take everything I said, go home, and look for yourself. hopefully I've done well. Test everything. And if I haven't, come talk to me. Come ask me. Hold fast to what is good. In other words, let go. Everything that's evil in your life, get it out of your life. Amen. As fast as you can. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from everything that is evil. Will you put that verse back up there? You know, if anyone wishes to come after me, and I'm looking around and I see most of us in here, most of us have committed our lives to the Lord. There might be a few that haven't. If that is true for you today, today is the day of salvation, Scripture says. Because the day of the Lord's coming. I mean, it's coming. But there's hope. And that hope is only found in Jesus Christ. Amen. Only found in Jesus Christ. And eventually, if you are not in Christ, eventually your worldview will fall apart. And you will come to a place that the only hope you have is Christ. Amen. Most of us here, you know, we've been following the Lord. And so I'm going to ask you this question. Are you denying yourself? Just simple. Are you denying yourself? Don't answer. You know if you are or not. You know it. I mean, you know what you're doing. Are you denying yourself? Are you taking up your cross daily? Are you saying Jesus Christ is Lord daily? And when I first gave my life to the Lord in 1985, didn't know a whole lot. Every morning, I prayed the sinner's prayer for about 6 months. Every morning. I didn't think I lost my salvation, but you know what? Just in case. And it's a good practice to be involved in. God, today, I commit my life to you. Today, I commit my hands to you. Today, I commit my mouth to you, my feet to you. Lord, be Lord of my life today. See, I got a testimony of 1985 and how God worked in my life and how God saved me out of drugs and drinking and all that stuff. But I also got a testimony today, this morning, how God woke me up early this morning, called me to go read and pray and study and prepare for this morning. That's the key. I know most of us, we have a testimony of years ago, but do you have one this morning, today? Are you taking up your cross? And then the last one, are you following him? Are you following him? Following Christ. We're following somebody. Whether we realize it or not, we're following somebody. And I just encourage you this week to lose your life so you can gain it. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for us this morning. I ask God that we would do what this scripture in Luke tells us to do, that we would deny ourselves, that we would take up our cross today, and that we would follow you. And I pray for each person in this room, knowing that the day of the Lord is going to come, that we would live a life prepared, daily prepared to meet you. I pray that it would become just a habit in our hearts to wake up in the morning looking, expectantly looking for your return. Lord, I pray for those this morning that are not following you. I pray, God, that you would move mightily in their lives and that you would convict and you'd give them the gift of repentance. Thank you, Lord. You know, if you're here this morning and you want to give your life to the Lord, or you want to repent of something that's prevalent in your life, you can talk to myself. There are three elders here that you can talk to. Jim and Barry. There's Mike, Molly. There's several men here, several ladies here that you can actually go to this morning. And you know what? No judgment, no nothing, because they're in the same boat. I'm in the same boat. But if you want to get your life right, today is the day of salvation. Right now, today, God is calling you. Repent, believe, be saved. So, Lord, we again just commit this time to you. And I just pray that you'd continue to work in our lives, through our lives. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.